by God. Amen. To be touched by God. To know that your life is changed because of the greatness of God. Amen. What a wonderful, wonderful thing this morning. Let's go look this morning at 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Some very familiar scripture. This morning early as I got up to pray and seek the Lord, I came to read from the Word of God a while. I read across this scripture, and I trust the Lord will help me this morning to preach to you just for a little while. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. Be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Ask the Lord to help us this morning. Father, I pray that just for a few minutes, Lord, that you would walk among us this morning. I pray, God, that you would come and stand by me this morning. And I pray the word of God will become alive to our hearts and to our lives this morning, and that we will be touched by God. In the name of Jesus this morning, I pray. In the name of the Lord. Amen. Would you read the scriptures this morning and you look at the writing of Paul to Timothy? And you've got to understand now, Paul is writing this from prison. And Paul's life is not many days from hence. He will be beheaded for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when you look at the trust and the confidence that Paul had in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this morning I want to preach to us about that great trust that he had in the Word of God. There are many this morning that will tell us that the Word of God is just a good book. But I'll tell you, it's more than a book this morning. It is the very words of Jesus Christ. When you read and when you go back and you look at the gospel, the Old Testament was nothing more than a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. But then when you look and you read the New Testament, it was the New Testament of the life of Jesus Christ. And then when you go down and you study that John the Revelator, in the very last book of the New Testament, in his writing to us, wrote of us the revelation. And when the other morning we were in the book of Revelation in teaching the young people, and I asked them, do you understand what John's revelation was? And so, of course, they didn't know what it was. And I said, all right, let's read verse number 1. And John's revelation was the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so when you look at this morning, the gospel is centered around Jesus Christ. For when you study about the Old Testament and you look at that schoolmaster, it did nothing but point everything toward the cross. That's why that when you read from the beginning of the Bible, the book of Genesis, that God prepared a way. and made a plan of salvation that would come through his son. And so the gospel that was deposited was taught to Paul was that the Lord Jesus Christ was able to keep that was committed unto him against that day. And Paul felt great comfort and great consolation in the results, amen, of committing his soul into the care of Jesus Christ. Amen, into knowing that he, amen, giving his life, amen, for the gospel of Christ, amen, that he had sunk, and that he had devoted, and that he had lived his life, amen, to serve one purpose, and that was Jesus Christ. Amen, when you realize the things that Paul had done, he feeling the value of his soul. And do you understand this morning that many people do not really realize the value of their soul? I had working Wednesday or Friday, I had a family came in and they didn't have a preacher to preach their sister's funeral. And so they asked, would someone, the funeral home, get someone? And so the director came and said, I need you to preach a service. And so Friday night at 7 o'clock, I preached the funeral service. And so in talking with the family, they were there at the funeral home early. And so I sat down with them to visit with them just a little while. And the man said to me, her brother, he said, what we want you to do is we want you to get up there and we want you to read a short sermon, a short verse. And we want you to pray at the end of it. And we don't want any altar call. And we don't want any long preaching. We want you to say what you're going to say in about 5 to 7 minutes. So in dealing with his family, I got to questioning them, and I got to dealing with them on their sister's life. And what I found out was she was 58 years old. And what I found out was that as a teenager, she had been on the beaches in California for the Crusaders for Christ. And that was her church. And that was her church life. Amen. From the time she moved back to Oklahoma, there was no record of any church attendance. There was no record of any going to the house of God. There was no preacher in the family. There was no church associated with anybody. And so they wanted somebody to get them a preacher. But yet they don't want to know the value of their soul. Do you hear me? I said they don't want to know the value of their soul. This world wants to pass death on by as if nothing. But Paul realized the value of his soul. I want it in the hands of safekeeping. I want somebody that knows how to manage my soul to hold my soul. And so Paul knew the dangers of the world. And he knew the dangers of losing his own soul. And he was conscious of his own weakness. Do you hear me this morning? Amen. You cannot, amen, for 35 years, never read the Bible, and never pray, and never go to church, and expect your soul to be saved in the end. Amen. You have to understand, amen, I am conscious this morning of my own weakness to know how to direct my path and to know how to live this world. I must commit my soul into the hands of Jesus Christ. You, I don't care how intellect you are, you're not able to direct your own paths. You are not able, amen, to direct your own soul. Oh, but preacher, I know what I'm doing. I understand. But Paul was conscious of his own weakness, and he placed his soul in the power and the grace of Jesus Christ. He trusted his soul to God. You know, many people, when they mom and dad, and I don't say much about it, dad don't say much about it anymore. When dad received his retirement, they asked me, and I told them, I don't know what to do, but I would seek good counsel. Well, dad took his retirement and went into the bank and let a banker tell him to
invest his money in stocks or in bonds, not in stocks, but in bonds. Now listen, if you know anything about the financial market, bonds have been a very poor investment for many years. Come on now. I remember when I left Capital Electric, maybe I didn't have very much money, but I had a little bit of money in an account. And so when I left, there was time for me to invest that. And I'm honest with you. I'll tell you what I did. I got down on my knees and I prayed. Do you hear me? I said I got down on my knees and I prayed. Hey, man, I knew the company that I was going to invest through. And this company was very diversified. And they sent me a list of all of these companies, hey, man, in which I should invest in. And so as I prayed and I asked God, please, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know one thing about what I'm doing. It was in 85. But I need some guidance. I need some help from the Lord. Amen. So I invested in what I felt like I ought to invest in. And when I pulled that money out in 90, amen, from 85 to 90, and when I pulled that money out, I had gained 30% interest on that money. Now listen, it wasn't my ability. It was God's ability, because I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't have a clue what I was doing, but I prayed about it. I tell you this morning, there are people that will seek out the very best counsel they can, amen, to invest their money. But their soul goes unregarded. Amen. Their life goes unregarded. The most valuable thing. Amen. They are careless with their own soul. Listen to this. Paul felt like his soul's case was there for Jesus to heal him as his physician. Do you agree with that this morning? That when my soul is in trouble and needs healing, only Jesus Christ can heal my soul. His soul's call were there to be supplied by Jesus as his shepherd. That means when I need something from the Lord, amen, I don't always tell Sharon. I don't always tell Brother Darren. I don't always tell Brent. But I always tell God, and him as my chief shepherd knows what to give me and what's best for me. And so his soul's course was there to be directed by Jesus as Pilate. Come on now. His soul's course. The direction that he took. The paths that he traveled. The road that he trod. I told the young people this morning in class, I can't see tomorrow. I told Sharon as a joke this morning, I got up, I did 9 funerals this week, preached one, did 9 others, or 8 others. And I told Sharon, been a busy week. I said, I predict 5 funerals this week. You know, I don't have a clue. I know there'll probably be one, but there may not be another one. I may not work at all this week. Who knows? Amen. It's all in who the Lord wants to call home this week. Amen. You see, that directs what I do or not. But I want to tell you this morning, because I cannot see tomorrow, because I cannot see next week, I need someone guiding my course. Amen. And holding my hand and leading my way. Amen. As the brother preached to us Wednesday night. Amen. Brother Andrew and I mentioned to you when he got through preaching, I understand that people want Jesus beside them, but I tell you, I want him in front of me. I want my footsteps to be in the steps of the Lord. I want him guiding me. I want him directing me, for I don't know tomorrow, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know that I can trust my soul and my direction to the keeping of God, and he knows what's best for me. I read a while back a story in a book, an old story, from an old preacher. I don't even remember where it's at now. I'd have to look to find it. I don't know if it was Chapel or whether it was McCartney. But one of them old preachers were writing about one day the king called all of his village, all of his people in. He told them, come. Lay down the burdens that you're bearing. Just lay them down here. After everybody got through laying all their burdens down, after they all got through laying down their trials and were standing back, he said, now, I want you to go back up to that line and I want you to pick out anybody's burden that you want. They're all laying there. Pick out the one that you want. And so you've always heard people say, if that was my trial, I'd do this. If that was my test, I'd do something else. Hey, amen. So he said, all right, you come and pick you out a new burden. Every one of them picked them out a new burden. He said, I want you to come back now a week from today. And so every one of them went back to their homes and back to their jobs, carrying a new burden and a different problem. Hey, amen. After 1 week, he brought them back. He said, now I want all of you to lay down your burdens. And every one of them laid down their new burdens that they were carrying. And when they got through, he said, now I want you to come back and choose another burden. And without fail, every one of them came back and picked up the original burden that they were bearing. Because, my friend, God knows what's good for you. And what's good for you may not be good for me. And so he has Pilate directs our paths and leads us down roads that are best for you and I. And we trust our souls to him who never fails. The soul's course, Paul's soul's cause, was there to be pleaded by Jesus Christ as the advocate. Come on now. I don't know about you, but I do not know how to appear before the Father. But I know how to come to Jesus, and he knows how to approach the Father. And so he goes for us as our advocate. And then his soul's care was there to be guarded by Jesus as protector. I tell you, I need him. Do you hear me? I said, I need him. Every day that I live, every day that I walk, I need the protection of God. I need his divine keeping. So that's the things that Paul did. But now let's look at what he knew. Paul speaks not of believing in him. And this is sometimes I believe. When I was studying this morning and reading, I believe I found the source of our lack of faith. I believe I found the key to us not getting our prayers answered. Because Paul did not believe in him, but Paul believed him. Come on now. I said Paul did not believe in him. Paul believed him. There is a difference. By believing him, it was a personal. Come on. By believing him, it was a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Oh God. Sometimes I feel and I fear that we that sit on church pews, that we believe in the God of our mothers and we believe in the God of our fathers. But I want to tell you that Paul did not only believe in him, but Paul believed him, that what he said he would be able to do. And he trusted him. Oh God, give us faith this morning to believe him, not in him. When I read and hear Sister Sheila, the testimonies, and I never met her, but I've heard enough testimonies of her, of Sister Sheila's grandmother. She did not believe in God. She believed God. It was personal. Her children that were unsaved would call her and have her pray about a house to buy, or have her pray about this or that decision in life. Was because they knew that she believed him. Oh God. Oh, many times we believe in him, but do we believe him? Amen. Do we believe that he is able? Amen. We believe in him. Amen. But Paul knew. He knew him by meeting him there on the road to Damascus. His believing him began at that experience on the Damascus road. I want to tell you, that trip to the altar where he wiped away your sins needs to be enough for you to believe him, that he is able to keep that you've committed in his hands. People only believe in him. Therefore, they do not fully trust him. But when you believe him, when I heard Brother Davey, when I heard Brother Davey say the other morning, or when he was preaching for us, that he told Odie without her canes to turn loose of the chair. And when she started falling, he caught her in his arms. It took faith in her dad to believe that he would catch her, because she knew when she turned loose, she's going to fall. I read something the other day about a little boy, and his father told him to trust him. And he was up on a ladder. He made him climb up a ladder. He told him, jump off into my arms and I will catch you. And the little boy, shivering and quaking, was afraid to jump. And finally, the father got real rough. He was a rough man. And he got really rough. And finally, the little boy jumped. And he was just a small boy on a tall ladder. And when he jumped, the father moved. And that little boy came crashing to the ground. Amen. That little boy didn't have any faith in his dad. Amen. He was afraid his dad would move. Amen. But I want to tell you this morning, every time that I've been about to fall, I felt those steadying arms. Amen. Of a Savior. Amen. That because of the experience that I have with him, I know this morning that I can trust him. I can trust him because of my experience. And then Paul knew him by what he had heard and by what he had read. I want to tell you, if you don't think reading this Bible is important, this is the most important thing in this world you can ever do, is because inside of this book, it contains the very words of life. Inside of this book, it contains the words of Jesus Christ and the map and the pathway to go to heaven. It's important to read and hear the Word of God. You must understand that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It is not merely hearing fairy tales. It is not merely hearing things that were just stories made up. It was the stories that were factual from the Word of God that builds our faith. He knew him. This morning, it took a new light to me. I know we've done it. We've done it the first of the year. And I really intended to do it last Sunday, and I forgot. I was going to do communion, not foot washing, but just do communion. I want to tell you something this morning. Listen to me. When I thought about it this morning, that Paul knew him through communion, communion all of a sudden took a new light to me this morning. Because I understood that door was open to the saints of this hour to have communion with him. Come on. To break bread. I wanted to put one in my pocket the other day, and I was afraid I'd get caught. I wanted one of them wafers that they use at the Catholic Church. I was doing a service, and the priest wasn't around, and they were sitting right there on a little table. But his great big one was on top, so I was afraid to disturb it. But I'll get one of these days. But he stands there and he declares that this is Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, that's not Jesus Christ. Come on. I said, that's not Jesus Christ. That's nothing but a made-up wafer. Come on. That's not Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you, whether it's a wafer or whether it's a cracker, when all of a sudden you realize that body that was broken, and you realize that blood that was shed, and you realize the sacrifice that the King made, that the King of glory, that he made for you and I, and you realize that communion is more than just juice and crackers, but it's the broken body of Jesus Christ, and it's partaking of that body, and partaking of that blood, and becoming fellowship with Jesus Christ. He knew through communion that he was real. And you could trust him. And then he knew And if there's anything that's lacking among us this morning as I prepare to preach, if there's anything that's lacking in this church age, I'm going to tell you what's lacking. It is experience. We have a church full of young people that by and large have never seen a miracle from God. We've read about it and we've heard about it. But it is the experience of our seeing it. Come on now. And so Paul was not inexperienced. Paul had seen the miracles. Not only has he seen them, but he had performed them. And so it was his experience that he knew by experience that he had tried and proven the Word of God. How, young people, do you know that His Word will not fail if you don't ever put it to the test for yourself? You must try it for yourself. You must experience it for yourself. We were laughing this week because Scott Smith with Jones Vondel Smith Mortuaries has a son that just got his license. He's 31 years old, I think, or 30 years old. And so he now has started taking over some of the things from his father. His father's a very hard man to work for. I told Sharon, you can't relax when he's around. He wants everything to perfection. I saw a funeral director make a mistake at a Catholic service the other day. And right out there in the vestibule in front of all the hands and people that were standing around, he chewed him out and told him how wrong that he'd done it and what was the correct way to do it. And I felt sorry for the funeral director. But then the next day I got it because I made a mistake. And the next day I got it. And then he got one of his managers and told him, you need to watch him. Make sure he does this right. We want it perfection. But the third generation now, I've worked with him several services. The third generation is a youngster that doesn't care about perfection and wants to have a good time. And when he works and his dad's not around, it's a party. Do you hear me? It's a party. He said, I did an Indian funeral the other day. There wasn't very many guests there. And so he said, I went and signed the book. Shorty Running Bear. He said, so when that Indian family gets through after a while and they sit down and they're seeing who all came to the funeral. Well, Shorty Running Bear came today to the funeral. So he signed, it was a white lady, and he signed his name, I don't know, some off the wall name on the book. He said, I just can't stand to see nobody's names there, so I always try to sign the book when I attend these funerals. One older funeral director said to me, that funeral home's going downhill because it's third generation. Grandpa worked hard to build it. Father worked hard to keep it up. But son's had it handed to him, and he don't know how to take care of it, and he don't know how to treat it, and he don't know how to appreciate it. Third generation, easy life. Come on now. Have we got some third generation Christians among us that have heard about it, and they have heard what God has done? They have heard about the revivals of the Brush Harbor, but they have not yet experienced the experience of Jesus Christ, which makes you forget yourself and forsake yourself and sell out to Jesus Christ and be a Christian and experience the closer walk with God. You have been handed the shout. You have been handed the revival. You have been handed the doctrine. You have been handed the glory, but you do not know how to preserve the glory. As preserved on your knees is the only way it's preserved. Amen. Philippians chapter number 3 and verse 10 says, that I may know Him, Do you want to know Him? Do you want to experience Him? Do you want to have fellowship with Him? That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death. I've got to die before I can know how He lives. Many are not willing to die. I'm about to. What He was sure of, what He did, what He knew, but what He was sure of. He was sure of the ability of Jesus Christ to keep all souls that were committed to Him. He is divine and therefore omnipotent to save. His work is finished so that He meets all the demands of the law. Come on now, I said His work is finished so that it met all the demands of the law. That's why we come in here this morning without a turtle dove, without a lamb, without a calf, without a pigeon. We come in here boldly to approach the throne of grace because He was divine and He fulfilled all the commandments of the law and the demands of the law. His wisdom is perfect so that He wards off all danger. And His plea is constant. And He ever prevails to preserve His own. And the ability of Jesus to keep His soul under the heavy trials that were pressing Him. Listen to what Paul said. In that verse he says, I suffer. But then he said, I am not ashamed. For I am persuaded that He's able. Brother Randy, through the divorce and through nearly 10 years, God knows how to preserve you. Oh God. His wisdom is omnipotent. Hey man, his ability under heavy trials, He knows how to put no more on me that I am able to bear. But with that way, with that temptation, He also makes a way of escape that I can bear it, that I will not be overcome, that I will not be overwhelmed, that I will not be destroyed, but that I will be preserved. He has the ability to do that. And though I suffer, I am persuaded. I'm not ashamed, and I'm persuaded. Not only was He persuaded, but the ability of Jesus to keep His soul even to the close of all things against that day. He's able to keep it today. But you know what? Tomorrow, since I don't know where I'm going, and I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, He has the ability to hold my soul and preserve it for tomorrow. And when I don't have a clue what Tuesday's going to hold, He knows what it's going to hold. And He has the ability to preserve my soul and to hold it till Tuesday. And if I die this week, He has a way of preserving my soul this week. Or if it's 15 years from now, He has the ability to preserve my soul for 15 more years. When you look at Sister Edwards and you look at Mom and you look at Dad and you look at Sister Goodwin and Sister Mary and these older saints and Sister Erlene, I guess we're going to get to classify you there pretty soon. Hey amen. When we get you there to them ages, hey amen, of in later of life, and they can tell us that He's been preserving us, that He has kept us, that He has kept us. Hey amen. Then I, all of a sudden, Ray, have realized that I've reached that middle age. It was kind of rude awakening when I understood, amen, that I was second or third oldest in the church. Amen, maybe fourth oldest now. Amen, but all of a sudden I have reached that middle age plateau. And I will tell you, young people, amen, that it's been the grace of God. It's been my ability to trust Him to keep me through my young years. Amen, and to preserve me to middle age. And I'm telling you that I'm not about to give up on Him now. Amen. But as I go on and I reach those senior years, is my ability to trust Him that He is able to preserve me against that day. Because I'm banking everything that I have, not on retirement, but I'm staking everything I'm doing on the day of judgment, that He's able to preserve me in the day of judgment. And so what you understand is that when Paul was able to know and to be sure of, then he became what he was because he trusted. He became very cheerful. He had the tone and the air of a happy man. I've met people that had no money, but they had peace and they had happiness. And they couldn't buy a hamburger, but they knew what it was to have peace with God. Oh, he was happy. And not only happy, but he was content. Oh, Lord, come on now. Help me preach just a minute to you. When you trust that I've learned that whatsoever state I'm in, to be therewith content. Amen. He was cheerful. Amen. But he was content. Come on. Oh, God. And godliness with contentment is great gain. I trust you, Lord. Whatever's best for me, I am contented to live for Jesus Christ and trust you. Not only that, he was very confident. Though a prisoner, he said, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. Neither of this condition. Oh, but I'm sitting between soldiers. I'm bound hand and foot in chains. Listen, I'm not troubled over that. I'm not troubled over this condition. Neither of this cause of Christ. The reason I'm here, I'm not troubled over that. Nor of the cross of Jesus Christ. I'm not troubled. I'm confident. Now, Brother Chuck, he knew Simon Peter. He knew Simon Peter well. He knew that Peter had been released from the prison. While the guard stood there, the angel came in and woke him up. And he bound on his sandals, and the chains fell off, and he walked out past all them soldiers, out to the iron gate, and nobody there, it opened on its own accord. He knew Peter. He knew that. I want to tell you something else. He also remembered the night that he and Silas were in jail. He remembered their backs bleeding from where they were beaten. In stocks and in bonds, in fetters. Amen. Them being in the inner prison. No way out. No way to get out. That was not hearsay. That was experience. Go now. How in the world can you ever be experienced if you never go through anything? You know, Brother Steve asked me after I overhauled that Mustang. He said, well, you going to hang out your shingle and start overhauling cars? I said, oh, no, I'm not a mechanic. I might have done it one time with the help of Brother Derwin and Brent. But I'm not a mechanic. I wouldn't do it every day. I don't want to do it every day. There's some experience I don't want. You hear me? But some experience you need to make you a better Christian. You young preachers need some experiences. Now listen, I've never been there. I've never been there but Brother Doc Haley, I was a young preacher coming out of preaching a nursing home service in Lexington one Saturday. When I came out of Lexington, there he stood on 77 Highway with an old wore out suitcase in his hand, thumbing a ride. So I whipped over and picked him up, put his suitcase in the bag. Said, where are you going, Brother Haley? He said, I need a ride down to Elmer Miller's. I'm going to go stay with Elmer Miller. Purcell, Brother Miller didn't live, a mile the other side of Slaughterville? So Brother Miller didn't live probably 10 miles from Brother Haley. But, you know, them old-timers, 10 miles was a long ways to them. So he was hitchhiking from Purcell out to Brother Miller's and going to preach for Brother Joe that weekend and get him a ride with Brother Miller. on to Norman and back and stay the night and go back Saturday night and Sunday night. Well, it wouldn't have been nothing for Brother Miller to pick him up, you know. But no, he was hitchhiking. This old preacher, that's the way he'd always done it. Come on now, that's the way he'd always done it. You young preachers, it's good for you, Brother Chris, to get out and break down in the middle of the night on the side of the road. Do you enjoy it? No. Brother Kevin was close enough to come and help you. Do you always enjoy it? No, but it's good for you. Come on. It's really good for you to get down where you don't have any money and you don't know where it's going to come from next. Is it fun? No. No. Does it make you feel good? No. But it's good for you. I never said much. Right after Brent got married, a little while, he got a pretty high electric bill. He wasn't making a lot of money. And things were tough. And I knew that he had a pretty high electric bill. And I had the money to give him and was almost prepared to do it. Except I came over here and prayed about it. And I knew he's praying about it. And you know what the Lord did? The Lord opened up him a side job. Enough to get him right on through. Come on now. I could have helped him. And I would have helped him. Brent knows anything I've got's his. If he needs it, he can have anything I've got. And he knows that. And I mean that this morning. But as a young father, and as a young man, I wanted him to be confident that he could talk to God about it. And God would fix it. When Sharon and I were evangelizing between 84 and 85, we would come home, and sometimes we would come home dead broke with no money, barely enough money to get home. We'd pull in out of Sharon's mom and dad's. That's usually where we went because they had more room for the trailer, and we'd usually pull in out there with the trailer. And a day or two before I'd get home, every time I came home broke, a day or two before I would get home, Rhonda would be at school, and Ernest Green, the counselor at the high school, would go say to Rhonda, "When's Ricky coming in? I got a little job I need done." Without fail. And when I'd roll in, Mom would call and say, "Ernest Green's got some work at the trailer park that needs to be done. He needs you to come and do it just as quick as you can do it." That's my God. That's confidence. I was confident that he would not let me down. I was confident, though the condition I was in and the cause that I was here, I was confident that God would not fail me. And then, not only was he confident, but if there's something this morning, there's one more thing that I think we're slack on, and that is that Paul was thankful that God had cared for him so much. I came this week to pray, maybe Friday morning. I don't remember what morning it was early. I came into this church to pray. And while I was here praying, I remembered something, and right now I can't even remember what it was. But when I came in here to pray, I remembered that I had been praying about something a while back, and God had taken care of it. And if I tell you what it was, if I could remember, I can't remember what it was now. But I remember while I was praying, all of a sudden, Brother Chris, that came to my mind what God had done. And I said, "Oh, God, I'm so sorry. I don't think I've even said thank you. Oh, let me not forget to be thankful. For I've trusted him. Let me be thankful that he was worthy to be trusted and thankful for his grace." Come on, Sharon, to the piano. Let me read to you. I found this week in reading. One day I was reading in my office and I found this. I want to just read it to you. It's just a short little poem called God's Handwriting. He writes in characters that are too grand for our short sight to understand. We catch but broken strokes and try to fathom all the mystery of withered hopes, of death, and of life. To endless war and useless strife, we're trying to catch the glimpse and understand. But he said, but there, with larger, clearer sight, we shall see this, that his way was right. Oh, thank God. I'm glad his way's right. I may do it other ways. I may choose other paths. But his way is right. His way is right. Come on this morning with me around the altar and let's pray. While we may question this morning, we may catch but broken strokes. And we're trying to catch the mystery of withered hopes, of death and of life. To endless war and useless strife. But there with larger, clearer sight, we shall see this. His way was right. Come on, let's pray this morning. Let's seek the Lord.